Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thank you, Wyman. If you'll open your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 6, we'll continue in our study. Jesus says there in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry. He then begins to tell us what not to worry about. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about anything. Jesus says that worry should have no part in the life of his disciple. Yet it does, doesn't it? Paul said in Philippians 4, be anxious in nothing. But we are. You know, we worry about so many things. Poor people worry that they're never going to have enough money. And rich people worry that they're going to lose their money. And young people worry that they're going to get old. And old people worry that they're not going to get older. You know, all the things in this world that we worry about. Will we have enough to pay the bills? Will we have enough to pay for the medicine? Can we send the kids to college? Will I lose my health? Might someone break into my house? What if a tornado hits? What if the basement floods? And the list just goes on and on. And we can make ourselves sick with worry. And it's a shame. I mean, it's a shame for people who belong to Jesus Christ to ever make themselves sick with worry about these kinds of things. One wise man has said there are two areas in which you should never worry. One, in the areas that you can do nothing about. And two, in the areas that you can do something about. That covers all the bases right there. If you can do something about it, don't worry and do it. If you can't do anything about it, then there's no point in worrying. Worry is not only useless, it's destructive. Did you know that worry will do the same thing to your body that engaging in drink over a long period of time will do? It'll destroy your health just as surely. Worry will do the same thing to your body that overeating for a period of years will do. It's destructive. It's damaging. People do worry themselves to death. Jesus not only tells us not to worry, he explains how we can go about this process of eliminating worry from our lives. And that's what we want to look at in the text tonight. He argues from greater to lesser. And this is a favorite argument that Jesus uses. He says, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? You know, you consider your life. Who gave you your life? Well, God did. Consider your body. Who created you? God did. Isn't God able to sustain the gift that he gave you initially for as long as he wants that gift to last? If God gave it to you, you think that he'll suddenly find himself in a position where he can't maintain what he has given you? You know, we tend to be forgetful about the fact that life itself is a gift from God. Not only did God start all of life, he keeps all of life in motion. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. Did you know that this world came into existence by the Word of God? God spoke the Word, and the power of the Word was so great that there was life, and there was plant life, and there was animal life, and there was human life. And the same Word that brought all things into being is the same Word that sustains all life on this planet. Things don't just run naturally. It appears that way. We become so accustomed to the sun rising and setting and to the seasons of the years that it just seems like it just runs all by itself. It doesn't. He sustains all things, the Bible says, by the power of His Word. Nature is not just some inanimate thing that just runs along of its own accord. God is the one who, through the power of His Word, makes the sun rise and makes the sun set. God is the one who sends the rains. God is the one who gives us our every breath, our every heartbeat. Some of you have riding lawnmowers, and there's a feature on many of these that's a safety feature, and it's called a kill switch. And you tie a little cord to yourself, to your wrist, or put it on your body somehow, and if you happen to fall off of the machine, that will kill the motor automatically. It stops if you're not there on the machine. You know, God is connected to our universe, to all of our lives, with a kill switch. If He removes Himself from the scene, everybody dies. This world stops existing. This world stops rotating on its axis. God is the one who sustains all things. That's what He says here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. From the moment He breathed life into Adam, He has continued, God has, to breathe life at each moment into every living being. You know, when you look at it like that and understand that God is intimately involved in our lives, in our world, that helps me eliminate worry. Now, theories of the origin of life on this planet continue to change. The theory of evolution was the most popular theory whenever I was a boy. And yet I went to church and I heard people say, in the beginning, God created. And then later on, the Big Bang Theory became very popular. I kept hearing people at church say, in the beginning, God created. And now, most recently, there's a theory that's becoming widespread that life arrived on our planet from meteors, from other faraway places. And yet, the Bible still says, in the beginning, God created. You know, if pagan scientists were right, we would have reason to worry. If this was all an accident, and if there was nobody in charge and nobody in control, we would have every reason to be fearful for our existence. But according to Scripture, we are no accident. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, we read, "From one man He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the times set for them, and the exact places where they should live." You're not here by accident. You're here because of God's purpose for you in your life. God has a plan for each one of us. I don't have to worry. I do not have to worry when I get on an airplane about that airplane crashing. I don't have to worry at night that a tornado is going to hit my house and I'm going to be blown away. I don't have to worry about my ship sinking. If God had a plan for the Apostle Paul and brought him safely through all the disasters that he went through, I think He'll probably take care of me until He's ready for me to be done on this earth. You know, Satan, on the other hand, wants to keep all of us at the level where we are preoccupied with worry and concerned and worried about our food and our clothing and all the issues that so many people worry about. And there are folks that are absolutely paranoid and go through life fearful and frightened about this happening and that happening. You know, that's not from God. That's from the devil. He wants to preoccupy us. He wants to create obsessions that distract us from all that God has planned for us to do and to enjoy during our years on this earth. Now, Jesus goes on to give a second argument here for not worrying, and it's a lesser to greater argument. In verse 26 and verse 27, notice what he says. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Worry won't add to your life. Worry will take away from your life. It'll shorten your life for sure. Now he talks about the birds. It's interesting. If you watch the birds, we've got robins in our backyard and you have them in your backyard, and you see how the robins, you know, after there's been a spring shower or a summer shower, they'll go out there and boy, they cock their head, and I've been told that they're not looking for worms. It looks like they are. I've been told that they're listening for worms. They can actually hear the sound of a worm moving through the soil, and they'll turn and listen, and then they'll pounce and they get that worm. And other birds are birds that like to eat seed. And you'll see the dove go down on the ground. They like to eat off the ground. And other birds like to eat up out of the feeder, or they'll go in the fields. And they do all these different forms of feeding. But one thing God doesn't do for birds, He doesn't throw the food into their nest. They've got to go out and they've got to get their food in the God-ordained way. And it's the same for us. God wants us to work. He wants us to labor for what we have, and it's done in the God-ordained way. Now, he compares birds and people. Birds don't sow or reap or store in barns, but humans do. That's the way God intended for us to get our work, or we go through our work so that we earn money and we're able to purchase those things that others have sown and have reaped and stored in their barns. And birds don't worry. And that's his point in all of this. His point is not that nobody has to work or shouldn't have to work. His point is that we shouldn't worry about these things if we'll just follow God's plan for acquiring the things that we need. Man's to work for what he has. Birds have to work for what they get, but God provides for them. Now, in a household or on a farm, if the horses are well fed and stabled, if you go up to a farm and you see that, and you see that the dog is well fed and he's got his doghouse there, and you see a big old fat cat curled up there on the porch, don't you think that the children that live in that house are going to be very well cared for? That's the point that Jesus is making, arguing from lesser to greater. If God takes care of all of his creatures, what in the world will he do for his children? Now, humans are the pinnacle of God's creation. That's what we see in the book of Genesis. Humans alone were created in the image of God. Salvation was designed for humans alone. And it's a modern heresy that teaches that animal rights are equivalent to human rights. That's not so. Animals are not as valuable as humans. You know how I know that? Because Jesus said so. Look again at what he says. He asks the question, are you not more valuable than they? The answer is yes. If God will take care of birds, are you not more valuable than birds? If he'll do that for them, then what will he do for you? And you add to our humanity, our worth to God as his spiritual children, don't you think God, who can do all things, will take care of you? Of course he will. Now he moves on from food and clothes, and again he's going to continue arguing from lesser to greater. Look what he says in verse 28 and following. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You know, it ought to be a crime for any of us to ever open our closets and say, I don't have a thing to wear. Look at what we have. Look at the riches we've been given and all that God has blessed us with. We're like spoiled children at times. Jesus pointed to the flower. And he says, consider them. Just observe them. You know, this time of the year, we've got our crepe myrtles and the zinnias are all out, and none of them last as long as I would like for them to. My favorite flowers in the backyard are the lilies. Jesus specifically mentioned that variety of flower. I love the lilies. I love their fragrance. They smell so powerfully sweet in the backyard. But none of them last. They're there for just a few weeks, and then they're gone. He talked about the grass that was used in the first century for baking. And that green grass would be cut, and it would be dried, and then it'd be in the oven. And what was green 2 days ago is now consumed in the fire. It's gone so quickly. And yet God deals with this part of His creation with such amazing variety and beauty. The different varieties of grasses alone. Some of you have some decorative grasses growing in your yard, and grass is beautiful. Pampas grass and other kinds of grass. All the variety of flowers that God clothes so beautifully. And he asks the question, if God does that for these things, and you're more valuable than these things, then what is he going to do for you? Don't you think God knows you need to be cared for? And don't you think God will care for you in all of these areas? Jesus closes by comparing those who worry with pagans. And let me tell you this. If you allow worry to get the best of you, it will rob you of your faith. Jesus says here, "Oh, you of little faith." And these are the ones he was addressing with that title, those that worry. Worry robs you of your faith. Faith destroys worry. That's the opposite side of the coin. If you will exercise your faith, if you will trust in God, if you will depend upon Him, if you will acknowledge Him in prayer and your dependency upon Him and rely on Him, then that will chase worry out of your life. You know, there are two basic views that the world has often taken when it looks towards worry and all of this. One is that everything is accidental. All is left to chance. If there is no God out there, then we're just an accident. Everything's left to chance. It really is survival of the fittest. And one day we may be gobbled up by somebody else, and that's just too bad. That'll be the end of us. And that's a terrible way to look at life, that it's all accidental. Everything's left to chance. Well, there's another view, and this view is prevalent in Eastern religions, and it's called fatalism. Fatalism says that everything has already been determined. It's all in the stars, and there's nothing you can do to change anything, and your lot in life is going to be your lot in life, and you're just going to have to live through it, and maybe you'll go through reincarnation and get a better lot next time, but there's nothing you can do, and there's nothing you can change. Now, neither one of those views is right. They're opposite ends of the spectrum, and they're both wrong. We're not accidents, and life is not fatalistic. Jesus says life is not an accident, neither is it fatalistically planned. Life, he says, is to be lived out in loving relationship with a Father who sees your every need and who is responsive to your need and who will not let you go through life without the things that you need. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be hardship and there's not going to be difficulty. But God has promised to respond to His children in the way any father would respond to a child who was in need. The story is told about a captain who was at sea years ago and got into treacherous waters, and there were shoals that would rip the whole side out of the ship, and there was a storm going on, and the crew was all below deck, and they were doing their jobs, and they weren't sure how close they were to the rocks, and they could hear the sounds from inside the ship, and they were terrified. And finally they sent someone up. They said, go up and just check and see what the captain's doing and see how bad it really is. And this sailor walked up and he opened the door, and there in the pilot house was the captain, and he was there steering them safely through the shoals. And the captain heard the door open. Nothing was said. He turned and looked, and he saw the fear in the face of that sailor. And the captain just smiled at him. And that's all it took. The sailor turned and went down below. He said, I saw the captain and he was smiling. Now, I wish that we, in our lives, in times of greatest worry and anxiety and the storms in our life, I wish we, by the eyes of faith, could see the smiling face of a God who is in control. The reassuring look from a God who loves you and will not let you be dashed on the rocks. This is my Father's world, arrest me in the thought. He's got the whole world in His hands. And that includes you and me, brother. That's the way the song goes. Now, there's only one group of people on this earth that should ever be worried, and those are those who do not belong to Jesus Christ. We've got it made. If you're not a Christian, then you need to be worried. But if you belong to Him, sleep like a baby tonight, knowing that He loves you and cares for you. If tonight you need the peace that only Jesus can give, we invite you to come right now as we stand and as we sing.